Honey, I got my teeth back in now. Maybe I can stick around and help you gum up the show, huh?
Thank you very much, but I think we can gum up our own show, if you don't mind.
I believe you.
Well, it's wonderful to be here again on Friday. Some very exciting features today.
On Monday, I didn't think we'd last that long. This is Ed Walker here.
Well, it's Scott here. On our program today, we'll take you to a classical Good Music Station sports review. We'll also have Mr. Fix-It on the program, along with our various and sundry commercials. So.
Various and sundry? I'm not sure. What do they sell?
Were you the one about Monkey D. Fling, the interview that I heard today?
Yes.
I thought it was.
I thought maybe you might help an old lady find her teeth, Sonny.
Wait. You mean to tell me you lost your
Let
teeth?
Let me just look around here.
Yeah, okay. Eddie, try to find her teeth with her, will you?
Let me help you, man.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay. I think, Bob, you can get the tape rolled up.
No, ouch!
Arthur.
Oh, my goodness, he's alive.
Arthur, what are you yelling about?
That was Guy Lombardo and his orchestra from a new album there of medleys, some of the old standards, the famous Lombardo medleys. And we heard two of them that time. Let's see, which two did we hear? They're here somewhere. Oh, yes, I had the craziest dream, and everywhere you go. And that drummer is out of his...
Hey, Norval, would you mind knocking it down a little, Daddy? It's time for one of our big...
I like that.
I know, fella, but it's... Thank heaven. Hey, wait a minute, will you? When you just pull it down to a car.
I think they are fighting me every step of the way.
Here he comes, our Safeway poet laureate, Mr. Ogden Rambler.
Good afternoon.
Wait till I introduce your blabber hips. Who's going to introduce the Safeway poem of the day.
Before I have you read the commercial, I'd like to say that while you were out in California, the show was bad, but not much cornier.
Thank you very much. I'll buy that. Mr. Rambler, before we go on to this big ha-ha-hoo-hoo, may I read a little thing here that Mr. Keller just brought me?
Yes.
From the WRC newsroom in Washington, the Australia has won back the Davis Cup from the United States this afternoon. Neil Fraser of Australia defeated Barry McKay of the United States in two sets, 6-2 and 6-4, to give Australia the world's amateur tennis championship 3-2, Edward. Today's singles match was a continuation of yesterday's, which was halted by darkness after Fraser had won the opening set 8-6 and McKay had taken the second 6-3. Play at Forest Hills, New York was delayed for 45 minutes this afternoon because of rain. That's it. Thank you, Cash.
It seems the Americans were a failure because they lost the cup back to Australia.
Hey, I think that's a good answer.
I have a poem for every occasion.
People think this show's taped. If they ever did, they're losing their shot now.
I don't want you to think that Scott is tired. He just sounds this way because he just got fired.
You read the memo. I didn't know you could read there, goo-goo. All right, what do you want me to do? Read the commercial?
That would help, yes.
What happened to our swinging orchestra? Did they get paid and leave or something?
They swung right out of the door.
I think they've left us. Okay, I'll read the commercial. Nothing back there. Here's good news from Safeway for our friends in the... They must have heard me, huh? So forget it, fellas. Here's good news from Safeway for our friends in the nearby Northern Virginia area. Now you can buy bonus quality Lucerne milk and no deposit, no return containers for only 44 cents a half gallon. And for the first time, you can save 6 cents per 1.5 gallon by buying Safeway's guaranteed Dairyland milk, now only 41 cents a half gallon at Safeway. No bottles to wash, no deposits to pay, no bottles to return when you buy milk at Safeway at new low prices in the nearby Northern Virginia area. Do all your food shopping in one stop at Safeway, where prices are lower, quality high, because food is always first at your nearby Safeway. All right, are you ready?
Yes. The Greeks, the Romans, and even the Spartans drink their milk out of Safeway cartons.
Thank you. I think that's bad enough.
Well, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Have you one more? Do you think
No, I think I've done enough already.
Where are you?
Going out the door.
A little bit further now. We've been crawling in this desert for 3 days. No water, no food.
How much longer can we endure the sun and the heat and the sand?
Just a moment. All is not lost.
Wait a minute. What's the matter?
A few feet up further there.
What?
I think I see a camel.
It better be a Winston or we'll lose the account.
Winston tastes good because...
There's no dirt land up front. Up front ahead of the filter. And the tighter you get in a Winston cigarette comes from filter blend.
And makes Winston taste good like a cigarette should.
These dramatic episodes... forget it. I ruined it. These dramatic episodes can be purchased in the Library of Congress and $45 in cash, check, or money order.
Duncan Hines of the Orchestra now. The that says experimental kitchen right here. And three-quarter time, we'll push our shoulders to the door.
Here, I'll help you open the door here. Here we go. Here we go.
Welcome to Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. Each Tuesday afternoon at this time, WRC invites you to hear their home economist, Miss Betty Crockett, queen of the kitchen range. Here she is, Betty Crockett.
Have a heifer burger at the end.
Hello, Betty,
out
they
there.
Sure look good. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I feel tolerable, thank you.
Can I have a banana?
I think get your hands off my banana. What was it?
Fritter.
Fritter.
Yeah, I'm just frittering away my time.
Frittering away, say, frittering away. Oh, man, music man. Hello again.
Betty, you look charming this afternoon.
Oh, don't feel worth a darn if we're down my lumbago's up again.
Oh, he's got a good orchestra.
And
my lumbago.
My little grandson, Herman's been listening to God on bagel records all afternoon. I'm about to go out of my mind.
How about a recipe for the kids?
Of course, it's only a short trip, don't you know?
Yeah. Just one little banana fritter.
Get your picking the fritter, feeling hands off my banana fritter.
How about our recipe for this afternoon?
I surely did.
All right.
Mm-hmm, good enough.
Well,
what?
The recipe.
Oh, the recipe. Today for the girls with all the little ones coming home for school, now you want to have something good and hot for lunch.
That's a good hot dish for lunch.
Boil the little monsters in oil.
No.
But today's suggestion for that wintertime snack is chicken noodle oh boy.
Is this something like chicken noodle au gratin?
That's pretty close. What is that again?
Au gratin, that's a French term. How do you make a chicken noodle oh boy?
Well, you get the chicken, you cut off his noodle, don't you know?
And you boil it in the pot?
Boil it in the pot, it'll grow back.
See?
The noodle has to be watched carefully, though.
And what happens then?
Chicken gets sore.
So how is it when you serve it?
Well, it's very bad.
It is?
Light and meaty.
Well, how do you get that title, that name for it?
Well, I say, every time the kids eat it, they say, oh, boy, chicken noodle.
Oh, no.
There's a chicken noodle. Oh, boy.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Anyway, look at it. We got to get a new writer.
Good hot soup for lunch, Mom.
All right.
Thank you very much,
Arthur,
Betty. And,
put your hand on my chicken
noodle. Just one little. Betty, please.
I didn't hit you. Where'd you hit?
I'm like Pavlov's dog there, I guess.
Well, so long and tomorrow.
Hit me, what do you expect?
There you go. Watch my foot.
See you next week, Betty.
So long until tomorrow. Lowell.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Stanley Cranston was accused to die in the electric chair. It was 2 minutes before midnight, 2 minutes before execution. As Stanley Cranston looks down that long, last corridor that only a few men see, as he takes his first steps, he knows full well that each step will be part of the last. And he shall never return. On either arm, a guard escorts him down the aisle. Until finally they reach the point where they can see the dimly lit room. Inside, the electric chair awaits Stanley Cranston. One of the guards looks at Stanley and says,
Mr. Cranston, do you have any last requests?
I have one.
What would that be, sir?
I would like to have a transistor radio so I could listen to the Walker Scott Show, if I may.
Well, Mac, it's okay with me, because if the chair don't kill you, the show sure will.
To bring you part one of the Joy Boys show. And here he is back from vacation looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Welcome home, Art Pease. How are you? Art, good to see you, boy.
Art hadn't been away.
Art's been away. I know you've been away.
Way down yonder in New Orleans.
I thought you were off on a remote there. Didn't you and Mr. Khrushchev do the cha-cha-cha down at Darn Martini's or something?
We managed to get acquainted, yes.
And, of course, a great big hello and a welcome to Bob Shenton, who's been gone now for 3 years. Welcome back.
Just a minute.
The big names. Now for our first record of the program.
Wait a minute.
I've been in San Francisco for 2 weeks. Anybody going to tell me hello?
Look, if you can't keep your conduct straight, Jack, you got to go to San Quentin. It's not
I said San Francisco. Oh, forget it.
Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the Lonesome Pine.
And now, Ching-a-ling, Chicken Chop Suey Chow Mein presents Author Codfish Time. Here he is, back again, author the old chicken codfish. Let's hear for author.
Golly, golly, it's nice to see all the peoples again. All the nice people. Hello, Tony. Aloha.
Arthur, you're looking grand today, Arthur.
Thank you. Golly, Ned, it's been a long vacation. Just got in, flew the new jetliner from all the way from Honolulu.
That's nice, Arthur.
Golly, that's a smooth aircraft.
Certainly is, Arthur.
I remember back in 1941 when I was just fooling around flying after my Navy days. Right. I used to fool around and fly, and I'd fool around a little more and fly, and then I'd fool around, and then after that, I didn't fool around and fly much anymore.
Is that all this?
You wrecked the whole thing there. It was kind of too much fooling around.
Walter, our new sponsor today is Ching-a-ling Chicken Chop Chow Chewy Sea Mountain. No. Ching-a-ling Chicken Chop Chow
Marvin, what are you? You're out of shape like crazy, boy.
Well, Walter,
You need a little work on those tonsils.
While you were away, Walter, I got a new job.
What do you mean you got a new job? You read the contract, didn't you?
Well, Arthur, I had to eat, and I've been doing, you know, number four on the top 40 this week is the monotones, and so, you know, I'm a
You
top...
mean to tell me that you've been doing the top 40 operation on another station?
Right, Arthur, I decided that wasn't paying off, Arthur, so I...
Golly, Ned, I can't believe my ears.
I won't be able to make rehearsal tomorrow, Arthur. I have a show.
You don't make rehearsals and you don't make no money on this program, meatball.
Arthur, I'm sorry. I have to make the show, and I have to do my own show, too, Arthur.
Okay, Mac the Knife. Come here real close,
Arthur.
Let me
take
one more look at that big proboscis of yours.
Yes, Arthur.
Come here.
Yeah, Arthur.
Kelly looks just like he used to on the floor with his carnation pointing upward. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the Lonesome Pine.
Autumn skies and falling leaves. Winter's around the corner, and here comes the girl who's already gotten out her BVDs. Stepping out of her glass jaw here at Radio Central. Here she comes up to her microphone, tripping lightly as ever. What? Wait a minute. You didn't,
No, of course not.
You didn't fall over the microphone, Kate.
Well, I decided that since we're going on the network, I wouldn't be becoming a star.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I've taken walking lessons.
Forget it, will you? Here she is, Washington's own weather girl, Miss Janitor, with the Washington Temperatures.
In New York. WRCA. In Philadelphia, WRCV. In Baltimore, WBAL. In Richmond, Virginia, WRVA.
Excuse me.
In Washington, WRCA.
Clyde, pardon me just a moment
here. Chicago.
Clyde, would you mind telling me a few things first? What are you mentioning all these call letters for?
These are the NBC stations in the big cities that will be carrying me on network time.
Miss Janitor, I don't want to say anything, but...
Well, don't.
In the contract that we signed with Network Time...
Yes?
You weren't included. I mean, you wasn't...
I was.
No.
You mean it's
yeah,
you
trying,
too?
Just walking. Yeah.
I'm not...
No.
...going to be...
No.
And all these...
No, not you.
And
no,
the dress.
Not, I mean, the dress is beautiful.
And everything
Your
else.
Your hair in the upsweep. Miss Janitor, look out. Watch it fall. Uh-oh. Help her up, will you, Eddie? Let's get her... Sorry, Miss Janitor. Really, we tried to get you. Such dramatic news in the automobile world. It's now the marriage of those two great cars. First of all, the compact and small little Morris Minor and the luxurious, roomy Thunderbird.
It's the new car for 1960. We call it the Minor Bird, the most exciting car on the road. Over 30 million miles of American major highways have been tested with these wonderful little Minor Birds.
Showing us how easy they are to handle, the economy on gasoline and oil, and the wonderful durability of this new Minor Bird. We now are receiving a report from car driver number 33 1/3, somewhere on the U.S. Route 240 near Sugarloaf Mountain. Come in, car 33 1/3.
Boy, let me tell you, this is the greatest little car that's ever been made. We're having a wonderful experience here at scenic Sugarloaf Mountain on U.S. Route 240, where we're driving the little Minor Bird and having a wonderful time.
Tell me something, sir. First of all, give us a little word as to how the oil situation is.
Well, the oil situation is great. Standard oil has never been in such good shape. I mean, we must burn about 2 quarts an hour, not counting what leaks out of the bottom of the car. It's really wonderful.
How about handling ability?
We've decided that the dealers can handle the customers with ease if they can sell them a car like this. Believe me, they must have good handling ability.
One final question. What about the gasoline situation? How's your gas holding up?
Well, I've gotten rid of most of it. I had some radishes for lunch, and I took an Alka-Seltzer and a couple of tons. Oh, gas! You mean the automobile? Well, so far, we've used 3 tanks of gas.
Wonderful news. Exciting news coming in by the second from the exciting new Minor Bird, the newest car in 1959.
That was 3 tanks of gas in the last hour.
Oh, I... Gentlemen, a major milestone was reached in the broadcasting industry. The Walker Scott team of WRC, NBC, and Washington made the NBC radio network on its network time. And right now, at this very moment, in Washington, D.C., thousands of telegrams are pouring in. Phone calls are coming in by the thousands. All over the country, people are talking about the Walker Scott Show. Mrs. Polly Wally Doodle All the Day of Alexandria, Virginia, was heard to say,
I lost $100 because I wasn't listening to WWWW, and I'm listening to the Scott and Walker Show on network time. I'm disgusted.
Jet Huntley and David Brinkley, the famous team on NBC television, were heard to comment.
Good grief, Chet.
Good heavens, David. And President Eisenhower, the President of the United States, was heard to say after hearing the Walker Scott Show. And just recently, a telegram came to our studios, which told us this message from the broadcasting president's industry.
Never before has so much been done for the radio industry. I can't thank you enough for what you've done to improve our stand in radio.
Is that from the president of NBC?
No, Bill Paley at CBS.
Oh, brother, we're in.
A Walker Scott News Report on the visit to the United States of Premier Nikita Khrushchev. These are edited excerpts of tape never before heard on the air. The little-known facts about the behind-the-scenes visit of the Premier of Russia. For that report, the Walker Scott News Report presents Morgan Beatty Eyes.
And the news tonight is transcribed in live Hollywood, California. It seems to me that Luella... Oh, pardon me, got the wrong script here. The story of the hour, Nikita Khrushchev.
That's Nikita Khrushchev.
Ooh, sorry, I blew that one again. Well, it's all over. Nikita is back home in Moscow once again. But the stories, the things that happened, the things he did, the things he said here will be remembered for years to come. And my colleague, Richard Darkness, has an on-the-spot report from Iowa, where Nikita Khrushchev had his old-fashioned country dinner with the Iowa-type folk. And here is Richard Darkness.
Thank you, Morgan. This is Richard Darkness in Iowa. Nikita Khrushchev had dinner last night at the home of the Garst. Very gracious host and hostess, I might add. And while they dined with pheasant under glass, roast duck, Iowa corn, the following scene took place. This is a recording of Premier Khrushchev.
The Prime Minister said, would you please pass him the salt and pepper, please? The Premier says that the salt shaker is stuck. He's attempting to... He said he's now got the salt shaker unstuck and he enjoys the dinner very much. The Premier says, in all humbleness, could you please give him another napkin? This one keeps slipping off his lap.
And that's the report with Richard Darkness from Iowa. But there's another story. Yes, another even more important story. What about the dramatic story in Hollywood, California? Oh, but first, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's switch to Richard Darkness in Los Angeles.
Once again, Richard Darkness from Los Angeles. Today, Nikita Khrushchev paid a visit to Los Angeles, meeting some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. He's just concluded a dinner with some of the biggest stars in the country, where he enjoyed a wonderful meal. At that meal, Mr. Khrushchev made the following statement.
Disneyland. Mr. Khrushchev says that he is of the opinion that today in Hollywood, movies are better than ever, but he is very unhappy that he cannot visit Disneyland. Mr. Khrushchev says he wants to visit Disneyland and ride on some of the famous rides.
The bobsled and the submarine.
And he said that from now on, he is no longer going to be a Disneyland fan, but he will watch strictly Huckleberry Hound.
And that's our special report from Nikita Khrushchev. Thank you, Dick the Darkness. And now, back to our announcer, Don Old Ragweed.
You have just heard Journey to Confusion.
I'm in the mood for a good recipe now. Let's journey down the hall here.
Okay, it's time to go to old Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen, right?
Watch how you say that, old. All right. A little shoulder behind the door there, if you'd
like. Help you. Okay, open her up. There she goes. There it is.
Welcome to the experimental kitchen. Afternoon, WRC is proud to present their home economist, Miss Betty Crockett, queen of the kitchen range. Here she is, Betty Crockett. Betty, good to see you after being away on vacation.
Well, come here, boy. Bless your little
Betty,
heart.
Well, Betty, it's nice to be back with you.
You've all been a great big
all right,
fat one.
Betty, now take it easy.
Eddie. You got that Golden Gate clutch there. Boy, do you smooch like a real mooch. Ooh,
almost locked our braces there, didn't we, Betty?
Good heavens.
Hi, Betty, good to see you.
Get your hands off my newly freshly baked oatmeal cookies.
I just want an oatmeal cookie.
Anything I can't stand is a grabbing engineer. Hello, Bobby. Hello, boy. You can have a rum ball.
That ain't fair. Now, why do you give him a cookie?
One fifth of rum to each ball there, boy, and it's really tasty.
Well, Betty, I noticed it's the fall season. There's a little nip in the air.
Don't mind if I do.
No, I said there's a nip in the air.
Yeah. Oh.
And I imagine that the folks are going to be preparing hot dishes for dinner this time of year.
Yeah, true they do, Eddie. Yes, true they do. I think so.
Sure. Right, so what would our recipe for today be?
I think we could, if you'd like to, and I'd love to do it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the music? Right?
No, we're not dancing. The recipe,
Eddie, is very simple. It's a brand new thing in the frozen food freezer of your store.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us about it.
Your grocer, he fell in last week and
he's quick frozen,
oh, delicious. That's just a little attempt at humor.
Nonsense.
Who asked you, you grabbing in? Get your hands off my oatmeal cookies. All right, today, girls, it's the newest thing on the market. Get your papers and pads all set. Here we go. Write it down. You'll see it next week at your frozen food store. It's Mrs. Saul's Fresh Frozen Whale Burgers, don't you know?
Oh, that does sound nice.
This is for a large group, and a lot of people will be doing a little entertaining indoors.
How many whale burgers to a package?
Well, there's about 22 whale burgers.
Funny, that must take up the whole freezer of your grocery store.
Well, you got to have... Well, they do. They're big, and they're bulky. And they're bulky and big. You got to put them in your own frozen chest at home.
How many servings do you get out of one whale burger?
35, Eddie.
Well, that's big enough for a banquet almost, isn't it?
Well, a whale's a big thing, Eddie.
Yeah. Now, how do you prepare?
This.
I say, how do you fix a whale burger? What do you
do? Blowtorch. You get yourself a blow acetylene torch and you blast away until it fries.
For effect, you can put a little charcoal on there if you like the outdoorsy touch.
Don't forget to call your insurance man to make sure.
And the fire department will be standing by. Thank you very much,
Betty. Don't forget Thomas for the little white tummy.
That's Betty Crockett, our WRC home economist. We'll be back with you again next Tuesday with another.
Get your hands off my
experimental kitchen. Until then, we say goodbye to Miss Betty Crockett.
Goodbye to Miss Betty Crockett.
No, we said that.
Today on television, two types of programs are certainly more prevalent than all other types put together. They are one, the Western, with the typical Western actors, and two, the new and exciting, newest of all new adventure detective programs, the type of program that uses detectives with modern background music taken from jazz. We would like to show you what could possibly happen in one of these new jazz detective programs. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present for your listening pleasure.
Warner Sisters, the greatest name in motion pictures and television, presents 33 and a Third, Sunset Strip.
Hello, my name is Peter Staccato. I'm a private detective. I work at 33 and a Third, Sunset Strip. Some people call it Mama's. Some people call it Papa's. But no matter what you call it, it's still 33 and a Third, Sunset Strip. Some people call it a drag. A drag strip.
Wow, what a drag.
Pretty bad. We had a special job going. Hey, fellas, would you mind knocking off? Music's getting a little loud if you don't mind.
Now, we are like, man, we're paid scale to do this. We realize that we are hired.
There you are.
That's fresh, crisp, pendol vegetables and salads, homemade bread.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to call. They're holding auditions tonight between 7 and 10. If you think you'd like to do a show on WRC, just...
They're holding services for this commercial tomorrow. I don't want to. The Pendol, wonderful place. They've got to be to put up with us. Stop in there 2 miles south of Alexandria where the big moose head hangs over the cash register. When you pay your bill...
Buster Crab sticks his head out of the wall. Forget the whole thing. Either do something dramatic, like... Arthur, it's World Series. This is baseball season. What are you doing? What happens? Jim Simpson and Ray Michael are on their way down here. They think a sports show is on the
air. Hi, everybody. This is Al Melody.
Oh, this is ridiculous. W.R. Winslow Company, distributors of Gold Bond Paint, presents Miss Janitor, Washington's favorite weather girl. As Miss Janitor steps out of her freshly painted booth here at Radio Central, steps up. Trips up. Oh, dear. He fell over the microphone.
I'm tripping the light fantastic.
You sure did.
Yeah.
He fell over on the neon light fantastic. Help me up, honey.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
W.R. Winslow Company, distributors of Gold Bond Paint.
You said that.
Oh, excuse me. Now, here she is, Washington's weather girl, Miss Janitor with the Washington area. Arthur. Temper. This is commercial. Temperature.
See the Tingler tomorrow at the Capitol Theater. See the Big Fisherman. Warner Theater starts tomorrow. Anheuser-Busch Brewing Company. Don't make a move without calling Smith.
Wait.
3343.
Cal Ehrlich and Helen Verstandig, would you mind doing me a favor and telling me what are you reading?
These are tags to commercials. I'm starting a scrapbook.
Miss Janitor, you really don't mind if we...
Here's a good one. Here.
What?
See, I'll find one of the old favorites now. Don't look now, but there's a high story here.
Oh, my goodness. That's pre-war. Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, look, apparently...
And now here's what it's got with a message from the W.R. Winslow Company.
Who are they?
The sponsor.
For all the little folks, the boys and girls listening, here's Roy Rogers' favorite sidekick and our old buckaroo, Grubby Hayes. Hi, Grubby.
Howdy, buckaroo. I'm heading for the last roundup. Ooh. Gonna paint up my saddle for the last time.
Wait. Grubby.
What's
You're
that?
Not gonna paint up your old saddle. It's saddle up your old paint.
You haven't seen my old saddle lately, buckaroo. Believe me, it needs a paint job. So I went over to the W.R. Winslow Company.
Wait. I'll go along with a lot of your stuff here, but when you slur the sponsor's name, buddy, we don't do that on radio.
I said it very clear.
Well, repeat after me.
W.R.
Winslow. W.R.
Winslow.
W.R.
Winslow.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Take me back to my boots and bottles.
Saddle. Yeah.
Yes, well, buckaroo, you know what experienced painters know? There's no substitute for white lead. In exterior paint.
What are you trying to tell us, Grubby?
This is one time when you don't want to get the lead out.
Oh, all right.
If you're in the W.R. Winslow Company, I did it again, recommend Scotch Laddie Titanized Pure White Lead Paint.
Oy vey, that's right.
Yes, sure.
The only white lead mixes thoroughly with the oil in the exterior paint, right, Grubby?
Right, prevents rust and stains. That's a good paint to have, you know.
It forms a continuous, bound-together, weather- and water-resistant film, right?
That's how Roy and I stuck together for so long. I painted us together. You wouldn't stay with me if I didn't.
So be safe and be sure. Use Scotch Lady.
They all sort of butt in there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So be sure and be safe. Use Scotch Lady, titanized pure white lead paint, right?
Right, from the W.R. Winslow Company.
Buy it from Paint Headquarters, W.R. Winslow Company. There are 9 stores in this area, and you can see page 717 of your yellow phone book for the nearest W.R. Winslow paint store. Isn't there a new one in Rockville?
That's right, 500 Hungerford Drive in Rockville, Maryland. Yes, sir, and there's free parking. You can bring your horse up there and just park it and go in and get some paint and paint your saddle for the last time around.
Grubby, it's been a very enlightening experience.
Thank you very much, Buckaroo. I'll see you later on television.
Here's your $450 now. You
yeah.
Can get out of here.
So long, Buckaroo.
Get that horse.
Yeah.
Painted one side of the horse green, yellow, and red. Brings you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak, all American American. As our story opens, we find Captain Daybreak, Chuck, Joyce, Ichabod, Baby Leroy, and Leo Rocca, along with Boy Scout Troop Number 31 from Annandale, inside one of the little brown booths inside a restaurant in downtown Washington, having their dinner. As we join them, we hear.
Certainly is crowded in this.
Come over just a little bit, Joyce. I can't get to my cream de cocoa here.
I think if we hadn't had this Boy Scout troop, the booth would hold for the rest of us the suffering chaser phrase, Tom.
It seems to me
don't belong here.
Oh, with the wrong show. Excuse me. I thought this was Tom.
Think about it. Would you move your big foot, please?
I'm sorry, Jack. I couldn't see a thing there.
Oh, here, waiter. I'll take that check.
I'll get the check, Uncle Jack.
No, I don't want you to take the check, Ichabod. I'll pay the check after all I'm...
I'll get the check, Uncle Captain.
No, I'll get the check, Captain.
No, Joyce, you got the check last time.
No, Chuck, I'll get the check this time.
I don't want either of you to get the check this time.
Let the Boy Scouts get the check. They haven't even...
I don't have any money.
I ain't got enough money there.
I don't think the Boy Scouts can get the check, and after all, I'm Captain Daybreak, so I think I'd best pay the check. What do you think, Ichabod?
Well, it seems all right with me, Captain Daybreak.
You do not have to worry about the check. Well, what do you mean I don't have to worry about the check?
It has already been taken care of. That gentleman at the next table. Suffering sassafras, Tom. Who paid the check?
I see over at the other table Jack Armstrong. He's showing off just because he has a higher rating. I'll pay my own check, waiter.
Suffering sassafras.
Stay tuned for the secret decoder message following next. Here is Captain Daybreak with today's secret decoder message.
All right, boys and girls, our message for today, 42 to the right, 16 left, 25 right, 43 left.
Wait a minute, Captain Daybreak.
Yes.
You just gave the combination to the Citibank safe.
That's right. I hope everyone has fun.
Listen again tomorrow, and once again, the makers of Loose Lint, the greatest name in gym shorts, bring you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak. Then the dessert, an icing-topped homemade cake with the lightness and taste that tingles the taste buds, excites around for calls for seconds.
I don't know how to help things, please.
Yes, me too.
So, would you like to finish it up?
Surprise for everybody, of course, but not for you. For Washington Self-Rising Flour, never, and we repeat that, would you repeat that?
Never.
Never. Never fails. Right. You're, really, so do this tonight. If you haven't tried Washington Self-Rising Flour, you're missing something.
Yes.
Remember, you always win praise for your baking.
With Washington Self-Rising Flour. Get some today.
Washington Self-Rising Flour. Get some today.
I said that. Sound like being on NBC Radio Theater, isn't it?
The Joy Boys, this is Ed Walker.
Pastor, right up. Tony, get that Artie, get the band out of here. We're signing the show.
Here's a bullet knife ready for Artie Shaw, just alone with the all-girl orchestra.
Things are happening big.
We'll see you
this
tomorrow.
This is a year of spectaculars. Lots of laughs. Little orphan Nanny gets her goat tonight on the NBC.
That's Annie.
Oh, where's the Annie? I don't see any of Annie. Annie.
Claudius Fink and how he had problems with his mother-in-law and his young wife. Claudius, just in his 20s, had only been married for 3 years, already beset by problems from all sides. But here to tell his own true story, stepping up to our microphone is Claudius Fink.
Ouch.
Claudius, you missed the third.
Tripped over that mic cable there.
Yeah. Would you? Here, let me help you out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very well, Claudius. Now, your marriage was not one of the happier ones, was it?
No, Mr. Herlihan.
He.
We were beset by problems, only having been married for 3 years. What's that?
I was the fix man ringing the doorbell. Not yet. Wait till he gets to the part where he's doing the doorbell.
All right.
Okay.
My story, you do want to hear my story, don't you?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Tell the story, Claudius.
My story begins.
Claudius, what happened that morning when the doorbell rang?
Well, I guess I'm trying to...
No. Wait till he says doorbell.
I'm trying to tell a story. I was...
Pepper Young.
What do you keep calling me?
Claudius.
Yes. It was 3:30 in the middle of the night. I had been in a deep sleep, having worked for 48 hours on a scientific experiment.
Is this doorbell ring?
No, not yet. And it was unusual for me to be working that long on a scientific experiment.
Man, I'm going to overtime if the doorbell don't ring pretty soon. I'm used to
it. Since I work in a government office. Anyway, I was aroused from a deep sleep by the doorbell.
Doorbell.
Now! Bleary-eyed, I went to the door.
Telegram for Mr. Fink.
Here, boy. Thank you. I read the telegram. It was from my wife. My wife started the telegram by saying, "Dear Fink." Now, right away, I realized that my wife's affections for me were waning, but I never realized that they had gone this far.
Claudius, what about your mother-in-law? Was she on the scene to be found anywhere?
No, she had skipped off to Las Vegas with a Sharpie who was working the roulette tables at one of the big night spots.
A pit man, Claudius.
Yes, and I could not find her to find out what had happened to my wife. So I was distraught with misery.
Pepper. Claudius.
I went to great lengths to try to get my wife to come home to me, but to no avail.
I see, and that... We'll have Claudius Fink step up to our microphone again in just a few seconds to tell us the outcome of his true story. Claudius, would you...
Would you move that sound equipment?
No, we did the doorbell at the end of the beginning of the show. Now, Claudius, would you tell us about how the happy outcome of your true story came about?
No.
What do you mean, Claudius?
Well, it wasn't a happy outcome, Mr. Herlihan.
He.
First of all, my wife heard the story as we dramatized it on the air.
I see.
She was thoroughly disgraced with her women friends in the sewing circle.
That's too bad, Claudius.
My boss thought it was not in good taste for me to come up here and bare my soul in front of 80 million people, so he fired me.
That's terrible.
My mother-in-law lost all her money in Las Vegas, and she's freeloading from me now. So as you can tell, this was the biggest mistake of my life, ever coming up on this crummy program. As a matter of fact,
Claudius,
I'm going to punch you in the mouth, Herlihan.
Wait a minute, just a second, please. Hello. Yes, I will. Thank you. Yes.
Well?
Claudius, that's too bad. You have one other problem.
What's that?
That was the union calling.
What do they want?
For being...
You mean they want me to join?
For being on this program, Claudius, you owe them
$185. Oh, I told you I was going to poke you in the mouth. Tune in tomorrow and hear his true story.
Buff and Annie discovers Social Security tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Arthur Cox this time. Morgan, the miraculous miracle mulcher for mulching leaves in the autumn season, brings you Arthur, the old leaf, Codfish.
You're on the farm again, Arthur. I can hear the birds.
Calling that it's a beautiful autumn day here in the Blue Ridge. I was looking down over Mosby's Confederacy this morning, looking down over the valley, color is beautiful. The foliage is so pretty, and the leaves are pretty, too. It really is beautiful.
The leaves are beginning to turn off.
So's my stomach, Marvin.
I've been turning, too, Arthur. I couldn't sleep last night. I tossed and turned.
A little trouble in your sleep last night?
Slept like a top. I spun all night.
Primo. Golly. I was just thinking, it's never looked more beautiful down here. We were out, Mary and I were out this morning looking over the South 40, and they brought in a whole new bunch of cows last weekend from around Manassas.
Any bull offers?
We've always got plenty of bulls. I was just thinking, when I used to be a disc jockey, Primo, you're getting them late. I used to be a disc jockey in Washington, D.C., and I used to read the reports from the Baltimore stock market, you know, in the morning. I used to get a report about cows and bulls. Used to say cows are firm and bulls are steady.
Nothing better than a firm bull, is there, Arthur?
Primo, you're getting them late again. Can't laugh with us. Forget it. Kelly, what do you have for the nice folks in the studio today?
Very nice food, Arthur, for the autumn season. First of all, we have some apples from the Apple Institute, Arthur.
Kelly, I haven't had a nice rosy red one for a long time.
We have some apple cider from the Apple Cider Institute, Arthur.
Nothing like good hot cider on a cold night, Marvin. Well, it seems like...
Avocados from the Avocado Institute, Arthur.
Well, it seems like the folks are going to have a real meal here today, a real feed, you know, and apple cider and avocados and that.
What are you trying to tell me, Arthur?
That's fine, Marvin. Well, that's wonderful. I think this quarter hour has been brought to you by Mother Morgan's Mulcher, right?
Right, Arthur.
You've been mooching off me for years, Marvin. In the blue.
Come on, Arthur. Minnie Mouse gets slipped to Mickey on the NBC. I knew I'd make it. I worked on it all day.
Hi, everybody. This is your announcer, Lyke Young, broadcasting from the non-existent donut shop here in Washington, D.C., where we come from time to time to talk to some of the beatniks in our area. And in the true holiday spirit, the non-existent donut shop has brought in a Santa Claus to talk to some of the younger kids, and we're going to interview Santa Claus right here now. Santa, welcome to our show.
Like on Dancer, on Prancer, on Dave Brubeck, on Charlie Bird, on Kookie.
Hi, swinging daddy. Uh-huh. Don't stand in the light. You're fading my beard.
Excuse me, Santa. Well, you certainly look in time with the season with that beard, and I assume those were your reindeer names that you were...
You assume, yeah, daddy, that's what you did, and that's right.
I see, and you're getting ready for the big holiday rush now, I imagine.
I am in the positive name, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we'd like, if we could, to...
You notice my goatee is only halfway down.
Yeah, I noticed that. Why is that?
Well, man, like, don't you see this is just sprayed with a little spray in it. I forgot it and sprayed it and...
And there you are.
Yeah, the whole bit is blown there.
Well, I see that there's a youngster coming up to sit on your lap. Could we just eavesdrop on your interview here? Would that be all right?
Well, man, like crazy. Come on here, Boopsy Bow.
Well, like, hi, Santa. How are you, Pops?
Hi, Swoopy Dooby. Come
on. Listen, there's a few objects for Christmas that I'd like for you to lay on me, if you would be so kind as to.
Plant them in my ear.
Yeah, Santa.
Well, crazy and a ho-ho to you, Junior Fry.
Wait just a minute. Santa, I don't want to appear naive or anything, but I didn't hear him tell you anything.
Well, you missed the point. He was communicating to me in the beatnik telepathy we use.
Oh, I see. I understand now.
By the way, Santa Rooney...
Don't yell too loud, if you don't mind, Daddy.
Just a minute before I go...
Just quit yelling in my ear.
Excuse me, why, Santa?
Because I got my transistor radio plugged in. I want to catch the Felix Grant Show and listen to some of them cool sounds.
Well, I don't blame you, but I just wanted you to know that my espresso by the Christmas tree for you on Christmas Eve.
Cool you, crazy lady.
Yeah, dig you later, Santa Rooney. Bye.
Bye, Sabrina. Bye, baby.
Well, that's wonderful, Santa, the way you interview these youngsters around here. I think that's just fine. That
Yeah, it really moves, yeah.
Yes, well, I hope that you have a very
nice...
Do
you mind standing back behind the light? You're still fading my toupee.
Oh, excuse me, Santa. Well, I assume that your reindeer are all ready for the trip. Do you use the reindeer, as Santa Claus always does?
Well, I drive a white Jaguar. This year, it's more keeping with the modern times.
Oh, I see.
Wire wheels, power steering.
Then after the Christmas season, it'll be off to the North Pole again for the year.
No, I got a suite at the Statler Hilton. I'm staying this year, the top deck. We throwing on some real licks down there, and things are swinging, Daddy-O.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Santa.
Yeah, a ho-ho to you there, Square Face.
Yes. Have a happy holiday.
Yeah, happy what?
Now back to our studio.
I'm sympathetic with that.
Well, I like to pick it up at a savings.
That's the original.
Get it off the hand.
That's right. Well, then you certainly must enjoy doing your Christmas baking early.
No, I like fresh goodies. I don't like to have them laying around there. I like to, I sit up every Christmas Eve till 3 a.m. baking all sorts of cookies and cakes and mincemeat pies.
Don't you get tired and sleepy at that late hour?
Well, no, I'm used to it.
What do you mean you're used to it?
Well, for years, I had a job that kept me up quite late at night.
Oh, really? What was that?
I was a bank robber.
Oh.
Hi, this is Perry Como.
Well, yeah. You rob your way, he'll rob his. Well, that's very interesting. Didn't you ever get caught?
No, I quit when I was 65 and retired. Taking life easy there.
Got a few checks coming in.
Yeah.
Well, may we do the commercial?
Feel free.
Yeah. I have no way to get back into it cleverly. For a limited time only, you can save up to 20 cents a bag on Washington all-purpose flour.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the regular or plain flour made the same way that the same folks who make that wonderful Washington self-rising flour we've been telling you about in recent weeks.
Now, look at these prices right here. On the 25-pound bag, you save 20 cents.
Wonderful.
On the 10-pound bag, you save 10 cents.
Well.
On the 5-pound bag, you save 5 cents.
Oh, gee, Uncle Bob.
On the 2-pound bag, you save 3 cents.
Really?
Well, I would assume that it's smart to buy one of the largest
size bags.
You save more that way.
Right, you save a lot more.
You have all that extra flour around here.
You have flour until next Christmas, you know. You can.
Well, I make an awful lot of cookies, you know, mincemeat pies and
you did
cakes.
That bit.
Well, I'm just saying, that's why I have the
fruit
large
cake?
Bag. Yes, indeed.
All right.
And remember, friends, when you use Washington all-purpose flour, you always win praise for your baking.
You're wonderful.
Many's the file I slipped in a cake baked with Washington all-purpose flour.